This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, the lovely...
Bird on a bike.
Miss on a bike. How are you doing?
Or it should be bird on surf.
Bird on surf. You've been on your holidays, haven't you, love?
I tell you what, I've been brutally, cruelly beaten up by those waves.
By the waves?
Killed me.
Surfing's brilliant now, isn't it?
I don't know. Who knows? I could hardly get on a surf.
Did you not get on a board? Did you do some bodyboarding, though? Everybody does bodyboarding eventually. Everybody arrives in Cornwall, hires a wetsuit, hires a board, runs into the sea, ends up back on the beach with a board on top of them, and then they go, do you know what, we'll do bodyboarding.
No, I didn't.
Did you not?
You know what I'm like.
You're competitive, aren't you? You went for it.
I already have my wetsuit. Went down there in my triathlete wetsuit, yeah. Which is just hilarious because it's totally different.
Yeah.
And my son had already been down there a week, so Louis was already... And I thought, I'm all right, I can kite surf, I can wakeboard, I can snowboard, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Don't be silly. It's a totally different beast.
It's hard.
Totally different beast, but I loved it.
My oldest son, Jamie, was a good surfer. And he was actually playing hockey in South Africa, and we were in Durban, and there was a surf competition. Durban Beach, and he went, oh, can I join in? And they went, no, you need to be able to surf. And he went, no, I can. They went, no, and he kept on and on. So they gave him a board and a wetsuit, and I went, right, you can surf, okay, fine.
Do you know what? It's time on legs, all it is. It's you just have to be get in the water and just do it and do
My other funny surfing story, a long, long time ago, we spent Christmas skiing in Colorado. Steamboat Springs. And on Christmas Day, I was on my way up the mountain, and there was a young lad in the gondola with us, and he had a snowboard. And I was just chatting to him, and I said, and he looked a real dude, you know, he had all the gear and everything. And I went, oh, you've done a lot of this. He said, I've never snowboarded before, ever. And I went, when you say you've never snowboarded, what you mean, before this trip? And he went, no, I've never snowboarded ever. And this is going to be my first attempt. And I went, okay, so where are you going? And he went, to the top, on the Black Run. Really? Anyway, we got to the top. I skied down, which only took a few hours. And I got to the bottom, and I'm sat at the bottom. And this lad came off the top of the mountain on this snowboard. He leapt over two pine trees, landed, weaved between some stuff, came all the way down the mountain and came to one of those big ice sloughs as he came to a stop, stepped off the board, walked over and went, I'll have a beer. And we all went, get out of it. And somebody next to me went, you do know who that is, don't you? I went, no. He said, he's the California surfing champion and the world surfing champion runner-up. This lad was a surfer. So, you know, a snowboard, although it's slightly different, isn't that much different.
No, it's the learning part of it. It was just brilliant, though. So,
Unbelievable watching him come down for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Good stuff. But, yeah, but it's rough, isn't it?
It's tough.
You get really
hurt trying to surf. I loved it.
It keeps picking you up and throwing you, doesn't it?
I laughed. I just don't care. I'm covered in bruises. It's hilarious. And just to be doing it with your son as well, you know. And we went running, and he runs with me, and then we went. And of course, I did some racing when I was down there as well. So people are going, "Oh, what's Bird on the bike?" Blah blah blah. So Steve and I did a TT down there. So it was just cool. Yeah.
So where were you surfing? Fistrop.
Yeah, Fistral had the best waves, you know, out of all the week. Mm. And of course, it's got board masters down there, so you've got all the world champions are there. And it's just a great, you know, I said to you earlier, I mean, I'm from those parts.
You're a pirate, aren't you?
I am a pirate.
She's a pirate. She's a pirate.
And do you know what? I very rarely go home and go, oh, I want to go home. Mm. But the energy down there, the way that I wish I'd taken the dog down there because she just would have, you can have... Everything goes, and I love walking around just with bare feet, and it just suited me really well this year.
It's lovely. It's so a lovely part of the world.
But we didn't get to see. So for Stephen, he'd never been to Cornwall, so he'd never got out of really Newquay or that area because we were just non-stop surfing.
Yeah.
So we didn't get to Damer Bay and to Rock and all that. I know. But anyway,
well, you can go next time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Nice.
You're all right. What have you been doing?
Working.
Excellent.
That's it, working. We've got loads of things
going
on. What
are you working on?
Oh, we've got loads of things going on. There's some changes going on at the radio station.
Tell us about it.
Basically, after, 8 years now, we've decided to consolidate our studios and our spiritual home down there in Dimchurch. We're going to be moving out of there in the next few months and building a second studio here next to the Talk Radio studio in Ashford.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
It's
sad and excited. Well, it's sad and exciting all at the same time.
Is it?
Yeah, well, it's sad to leave somewhere that you've got a long association with. Mm. Well, you know, we were talking to all the DJs and everybody was remembering stories from the early days about this, that and the other. And, you know, Fred the Porcupine that used to live next door and the day that I was on air when a llama stuck its head through the window and spat at me, really, like that, you know. So you've got all those stories to remember, but it's time to move on.
Why is it time to move on?
Well, basically, because consolidating the two studios, we've got so many shows now that having one studio is a real drawback because you can't back to back anything. You have to have a break between the shows, otherwise there's no way of crossing over. With two studios, you can, so I could do a show and the next show could be waiting to go in the studio next door. There's also some cost savings because being in the same building next to each other, we don't need to double up on quite so much kit and things like that.
Great. Yeah.
And of course it's an opportunity to bring the second studio up to a bit more modern equipment. We in the old studio we've got an analog Alice Air desk, which is a great desk. It's a great workhorse, but it's bigger than this studio. It's humongous, and you don't really need it anymore. These digital desks are far more efficient.
And geographically as well, for me, I can entice guests down from London and further afield, whereas when you say actually you come into Ashford and then it's another 45-minute drive, that's just
doesn't
a little
work.
Bit. No, it doesn't work. So for me, I'm excited for the studio and the station because actually it's going to elevate us a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. Although having said that, we did have the Drifters rock up last Tuesday.
Like you do.
They just turned up in the studio to have a chat with Craig on air, which was rather nice.
I was saying to you, though, I've got massive guests coming in. You know, we've got Ben Coomer, who's got the top UK podcast. I can get him down now because we've got a reputation of professional greatness. So it's things like that. You know, we've got Julie Lewis in tomorrow, who's just who goes up mountains, and she's over with Jeff Hazlett, who runs the massive.
Oh, I know Jeff.
Jeff's a great speaker, isn't he? Great.
Yeah.
Massive Texan. You know, and she's in all of that. And then we've got Penny Power in. So all of those things that we're able to magnetise people to us.
Yeah. And I don't want to come to a farm in the middle of the Romney Marsh.
And you wouldn't either.
No. Although we have had some pretty special people.
Do you
there,
know
I
who
say.
I am?
Yeah.
I don't do llamas.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's
cool.
Kind of what's happening with that.
Nice.
So that's good. Anyway, listen, enough of all of us. I want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsor, who are the lovely folks at Oasis, Operational Accounting Systems. They provide software and services to help you run your people and processes in your business. So do give them a follow on the Twitter. Their Twitter handle is Oasis, O_A_SYS. Do give them a follow. And if you go to the Kent Business Radio website, bizradio.co.uk, there is a link to their website on the homepage. So do check that out. As always, we'd love to hear from you, the businesses out there in the southeast of England. You can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call me on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233 220035.
Has anybody rung?
No, I've got a phone switched off. Ha ha ha.
Welcome to the show, boys. This is great, isn't it? It's so professional. Good.
I can never tell if it's ringing anyway.
Carry on.
Yeah. So you can call me if you really want, but I'm not going to answer.
Call his mobile.
Yeah. Some people do. Some people call my mobile and go, can I go on air? It's not really very easy, not on my mobile.
Let me bring it up to the mic.
I've done that. I did a whole show once where somebody called me on my mobile and I ended up having to put it next to the mic so I could hear it. It's hilarious.
Classic.
Anyway, you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk, but by far and away the easiest way to interact with us live on the show is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and to use the hashtag BeBunker. We have already had a few thousand tweets and we will be reading some of them shortly.
Yeah, I mean, we noticed during the summer holidays, don't we, that the interaction drops off quite a bit because we get so much coming through with the Twitter. So do tweet us and you have to use the hashtag BeBunker.
Yeah, we've had quite a few today, though.
We have.
Last couple of weeks, you're right, it dropped off a bit. Everybody was away on their holidays, but today's been quite busy. I'll tell you what, I'll read one while you get an email ready.
Oh, that's nicely
queued
up.
Yeah,
I'm you're good. On it today.
I'm good to you like that.
You've,
aren't I?
You've professionally given to the guests.
Absolutely.
Why?
I've eased you back. I'm mellowing, aren't I? I'll tell you why.
You've eased me back in.
I'm easing you back in. I'll tell you why.
You
want to know why? Yeah. It's my birthday next week.
I know it is.
It's my birthday next week.
And I'm not in.
Oh, no.
You've got the marvellous Martin White, haven't you?
Yeah.
And that silence says it all.
I hope he's bought me something.
Of course he will.
Yeah, do you think?
No.
No, nor do I. Cool.
Last year, we all came into the show for you, if you remember.
You did, didn't you? Yeah. And Amanda surprised me with a...
cake.
A cake that wasn't a cake.
No, it was a
it was bread. It was bread.
Bread
yeah.
cake.
Yeah, it was bread cake. It was fabulous. It really was, yeah.
Are you allowed to eat it this year? Are you on your diet still?
No, I'm supposed to be on a diet. She made me a bag of vegetables today, which was nice. But
Which was
lovely, but I finished them before I got to the studio this morning.
Oh, my day.
But they were nice.
Good.
Yeah.
Give us a tweet.
Yeah, okay. From Deborah Turner, you image consultant.
Oh, I said I'd shout, all right, but you carry on.
Do you want to do it?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
I don't want to get on your wrong side.
I'll
bird.
Do Ethel Bray. You carry on.
Okay. Vanilla Web, can we have a shout out, please, on the Business Bunker show for our Breakthrough Women in Business event on the 6th of September at Eastwell Manor with Rioc1, that's a Twitter handle, and lots of amazing women in business. If you want a book, go to Eventbrite UK or follow Deb. So that's the Breakthrough Women, and their Twitter handle is Breakthrough WIB, Breakthrough WIB. The event is on the 6th of September, and it's at the Eastwell Manor, and you can follow Deborah on her Twitter handle, which is U Image Consult, YOU Image Consult.
Great event.
Mm. I actually filmed the last one.
Oh, did you?
It was really cool. It was great for me because I was the only bloke.
So yeah, absolutely. That was Kevin, by the way, from Big Jam Studios. We're going to be talking to Kevin later on in the show. So you filmed the last one, did you?
I did, yeah.
I bet that was good fun, wasn't it?
It's a great job.
Yeah.
I put everyone on a green screen. So I brought a mobile green screen, and everyone who attended the event, Deborah made sure they had to come in via me.
All right,
very
okay.
strategic.
Yes. And
it's like the red carpet walkway at the
Oscars. Everyone
Austin,
did a little bit of an intro as to, you know, what they like best about being their own boss. And right. I chopped it up into like a really punchy video for her.
We learned a lot because Debs is one of my business partners in Release Your Brilliance. So we do that, and we ask people to do testimonials in there or even just what have you got from today? And I actually don't mind what they say. I just want honest, true truth of the day. And nobody wants to do it when you go up and go, can you just come and do it? And oh, no. Whereas she went, right, I'm going to make sure. So it's brilliant idea.
It was like an obligatory thing of turning up.
Exactly. Brilliant.
Yeah. Put people on the spot.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. But everyone was glad when they'd done their bit. They were like,
of course.
I quite enjoyed that.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it's always that fear first, isn't it?
It's the fear.
Yeah.
Cool.
So it's a good event.
Brilliant. So looking forward to that. What have you got, Bert?
You told me to do an email.
Go on, eh?
So I shall do this email that you've told me to do, which is Kent's.
Which is what?
Kent's only military vehicle and air show event will be returning to Headcorn Aerodrome on Saturday the 19th and Sunday the 20th of August. Is that this weekend?
I do not
know days or times. You know when you're still in that holiday mode of... So this year...
I'm just letting you know it's 3 days before my birthday. That was the one I just...
How long have I got left? 1 hour and 40 minutes. Okay, let's do this. Kent's only military vehicle and air show event.
Did I mention my birthday?
It's on the 19th and 20th of August. It's a combined ops military and air show. It's a unique event. Do you know what? This is at the aerodrome. It attracts lots of vintage aircraft from all over the country. Every year, a fierce battle is fought in the fields of Headcorn, depicting real scenes from World War II. They reenact the armed with real weapons, expelling thousands of blank rounds. And it's really engaging. It's planned. Oh, my God. It'll just be you'd be in your element.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. They've got tanks. They've got noise. It's just going to be
shoot, bang, bang.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's just a great family event. Mm. So this great event takes place on Headcorn Aerodrome, and that's Ashford. So it's Headcorn, Ashford. And it's between 10 till 5, and it's on both days, on the 19th and 20th of August, which is...
this weekend.
And?
It's 2 days before my birthday.
And you can go to
www.worldwideweb,
which is headcornevents.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you, Bird.
Pleasure.
There's a tweet there that I was just about to read, but it's from your fan club.
Oh,
so I'll let you read that.
What, have they not said hello to me today?
Yeah, and I have. Look, and I have.
Oh, I can't see it.
Do you want me to read it?
You read it for a change.
It says, "Hey, bird on a bike. Can we have one of your lovely shout-outs, please? We buy or sell your car locally, only £9.99 on carsfromkent.com. Thank you. Much love. Mitch."
He did not. No, I'll put that bit in myself. Mitch, I didn't even see it, love. It's just lost in the world of Twitter here, but you should have done my voice.
Should I, my lovely? You want me to read that again, do
when
you?
When we went down there, it was so funny because the boys were all taking the mick out of me because they were going, all right.
Did your accent come back with a vengeance? Did you get real pirate?
I don't think so, but...
Because that normally happens when you go home.
I know.
Yeah, so when I go home to London, my accent gets even worse.
I was able to say colloquial things like, all right, my lover?
Yeah.
But then that's it.
And who invited the Grockles and all that, yeah.
Or I'll say, where's that to? And Stephen will look at me.
Yeah.
That's not correct.
Yeah.
I'm like, where's it to? That's not correct. Well, that's what I say. So we have a bit of a battle.
Do you?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Other than that, good. Carry on.
Okay. Good. So, but...
What?
But you started to tell me about your accent.
Yeah, it just, I think my colloquial sayings come back rather right. than the accent getting stronger.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I reckon the speed that I speak. So today, I'm conscious that I'm speaking quite fast. So I'm slowing myself down speaking right. to you.
Okay, get it. Right.
Yeah, but I would probably say, I don't think my accent's lost that much, do you?
No, you've still got a fairly distinctive accent.
Most and people, I've been up here 28 years.
Yeah, most people could tell you from the West Country. Which is nice. That's fine. There's no reason why you should lose your accent.
It's like you with your London accent.
Yeah. And there's no reason why you should lose your accent.
No, I don't think so either.
No, absolutely. I want to tell you about this.
What?
Hello, Paul. I've been involved in a campaign to raise awareness about entrepreneurs' mental health. Anxiety and depression are common amongst entrepreneurs, but hardly spoken about. Mediation is one of the tools you can use to keep your mind relaxed and your thoughts under control. The Modern Mystery School is offering free meditation sessions, and because I'm a big fan of meditation, I thought I'd share it with you and their free sessions. I've been to several of their sessions, and this is why I recommend it. Please share this link with entrepreneurs and people you know. People who are suffering with mental health, depression especially, tend not to say anything to anyone and hide away. Thank you so much for raising this. And that's from Rafael Dos Santos. And if you want to find out about this free event, it's an Eventbrite thing. So it's eventbrite.co.uk/Modern Mystery School.
He's really cool. I love Rafael. He's really in with Morella Sula from Global Women magazine.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Nice guy.
As soon as I got that, I recognised his name.
He did a TEDx talk.
I thought he played for Chelsea, but...
it was a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah. but I'm sure I know him.
You do. He's just so Brazilian. He's like, you know, really handsome. He did a TEDx talk in Tunbridge Wells.
Mm. Right.
So that's where you would have known him from.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Okay. Do you know what?
What?
I'm going to play some tunage.
What did you pick today?
I just picked something at random because I heard it the other day and I liked it, basically.
Okay.
It's, see if you know.
Nice.
Yeah. But Simple Minds. Yeah. Let's go for it.
Don't Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
Don't miss the Southeast Construction Expo, the premier CPD accredited conference and exhibition. Hear from leading industry speakers, find out about major projects, free meet the buyer and lots more. Thursday, 13th of September 2018 at the South of England Event Centre with free parking. Visit www.constructionexpouk.co.uk.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent Business Community today.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2, bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday the 14th of August with me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the absolutely lovely Bird on a Bike.
Hello.
Hello. You're right.
All right, my lover?
Yeah, not bad at all. Do you want to read something? You said you wanted to read the Ethelbred tweet.
Oh, now you've put me on the spot,
haven't
you?
Do you want to find it?
Do you want to talk amongst yourselves for a little bit? Mm. Here we go.
Well, I'll tell you what. Have you got it?
I've got it. Yeah. Ethelbred. Ethelbred, here's your shout-out. They said, please, Burden, Vanilla Web, B Bunker, can we have a shout-out for getting to grips with management programme? It starts on the 7th of September. I can't believe I'm saying the word September.
I know.
And it's at Brands Hatch Place. It's at 8.30 till 11th.
You know, 7th of September, that's going to be, what, a week after my birthday?
8.30 to 11.30, every 2 weeks for 8 modules for supervisors and inexperienced managers. And there's a 20% discount for bookings between now and the end of August.
Cool.
You know what that's got in the middle of it, don't you?
What?
Your birthday.
Is it? I didn't know.
Enjoy the show. Thank you, Ethelbray. We will.
Yeah, thank you, Ethelbray. If you want to follow them on the Twitter, it's Ethelbray Limited, A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E-L-T-D. Do give them a follow. They're lovely folks.
They're always, always very funny with their GIF. Mm. Do you know what? I don't know. I think there's like a little GIF monster out there that everybody just sits and they're like, oh, let's find this. I never find any good GIFs. I can't be bothered to spend the time with
it. I'll tell you what I see occasionally is somebody finds a really stonkingly good GIF. And then they have to think of something to go with a GIF, yeah? Do you know what I mean? So they have to think of something to put so that they can use the GIF, and I think that's really hilarious.
Nice.
Yeah. I want to tell you about this. Following on from the success of last year's Gorillas and Gowns charity fashion show, Butterflies Events, the lovely Amanda Flanders, is excited to announce the Chimps and Tricks charity event. It's going to be taking place at the Port Lim Hotel near Hythe on Friday the 19th of October from 6 p.m. until 11:30 p.m. And once again, they're going to be raising funds for the Aspinall Foundation. And this year, they're raising funds for the Megafauna Project. The event will be hosted by Amanda Flanders of Butterflies Events and, me, of the Business Bunker Radio Show, in collaboration with Jane Mucklow of Jane Mucklow Photography. Guests will be welcome with a glass of bubbly and canapes in the stunning setting of the main house before moving to the marquee for a mixture of great entertainment, mouth-watering food, an auction with lots of exciting pledges, and then dancing the night away with the fabulous Jason Allen Sway and his swing band. Amanda has gathered together a great variety of Kent entertainment for the evening to excite and delight you. There will be three amazing magicians who will be working the room, blowing your mind with their skills. There's also a couple of casino tables to test your luck. During the evening, you will be continuously supplied with the most delicious food from the fabulous Chives caterers, and then you will get the chance to bid on the auction pledges that take your fancy with your fantastically wonderful, brilliant auctioneer.
You.
Oh, that'll be me then.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Can I just say, Jason Allen Sway, guess what? I recorded a track for him.
Did you?
And it got to number 19 in the jazz charts as well.
Wow.
Fantastic.
They are good, aren't they? Yeah, he's really good. Yeah. And they're doing all of that for charity. So that's brilliant. Our entertainment, who are kindly donating their time, are our magicians Stu Weller, Rob Scott and Neil Edward. The casino is supplied by Dan Smith at Ace Casinos, and the music is by Jason Allen Sway and his swing band. As Amanda said, we're raising money for the Aspinall Foundation's Megafauna Project, a project established to reintroduce the regionally extinct mandrill and a reinforcement to the low numbers of chimpanzees in the Bateke Plateau region. The tickets are just £55 per person, group bookings of six or more, and you get a discount. All proceeds, everything is going straight to the fundraising. For more details, butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/what's-on. Do check that out. Do come along. It was brilliant last year. We had a really brilliant time, and it's going to be even better this year. Looking forward to that. Cool. What you got?
Charity dinner. We're holding a charity dinner to raise funds for CARM, CARM, right, on Friday the 14th of September at the Ship in Dymchurch. And is music from the two of harps and magic from Stuart Weller and the three-course meal. Get ready for this. You know where it's from, don't you?
Yeah, go on.
It's from terry@botfield.net.
TD Botty. He's my man. On the Twitter. Give him a follow on the Twitter. TD Botty.
It always makes me laugh. Anyway.
No, it's good.
Good.
CARM, I believe, is the community aged Romney Marsh. So it's older rural community on Romney Marsh.
Oh, wow.
Old people that live on their own that can't, you know, because there's no public transport on the marsh.
Yeah.
So there's loads
or
of people.
Electricity.
Yeah. The sheep.
Yeah. No, that's and sheep. That isn't me mocking. I remember when I was a student nurse and part of the program was to go out with a district nurse. Mm. We actually went to a couple of people on the marsh, and they were farmers who were exactly like you're saying, who had grown old on their land, on their own, with no electricity still. Yeah. And that was just the way they lived. And I mean, that was 20 years ago. But,
yeah.
You know?
I'm old enough, even though it's my birthday soon, I'm old enough to...
what are you doing?
I'm going to stop in a minute.
No, Dan, I think it's funny.
I'm old enough to remember Chilston Park Hotel. When the Millers first bought it, Millers Antiques, and turned it into a restaurant, that had no electricity either. Everything was candlelit.
Mm. But you remember the mills and things like that?
Yes,
weren't you in a paper mill or something when you were a boy?
When I left school, I worked in a paper mill. Yeah.
Can you believe that?
I worked in Turkey Mill. Yeah, when it was still a paper mill.
Steam driven. Down the mine as well.
Steam driven, yeah. Mm. I was a grease monkey. That was my job.
Yeah.
I had to crawl in the machine and grease the bearings while it was still running. Can you imagine that now? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the hullabaloo?
Yeah.
14 years old, right? And I was doing a 12-hour night shift and my job was to crawl into a running machine and grease the bearings. Can you imagine that? That would go down well, wouldn't it? Health and safety wouldn't have anything to say about that, would they?
Can you imagine doing a risk assessment on it?
Yeah, yeah.
It'd just be great. I'd love it.
Yeah.
I'd love it.
Nice one.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I think it's about time we talk to somebody sensible, though, don't you?
Please.
And we haven't got anyone, so we're going to talk to our first guest.
But so,
yeah, sorry about that, Charles.
Person,
yeah. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show for the very first time, Mr. Charles Richer of Love Beers UK. Charles, thank you so much for joining us.
That's all right.
You're an award winner as well.
Maidstone
Business Awards. So start off by telling us what award you won.
We won the Startup Business Award this year, 2018.
Right, okay.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It was really good. It's been quite a heavy couple of years of work, so being able to get a little pat on the back at the end of it was really nice.
Absolutely.
So it's a good competition as well.
There was a lot of interest as well. I chaired the awards event. There was a lot of interest for that.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the second year of running the awards as well. And it was amazing, the range of businesses that were there.
Yeah.
Some incredibly innovative businesses as well. So you've been going 2 years, you say?
Yeah, well, the company I incorporated pretty much, I don't know. I've been at a festival for the last 6 days.
He's out of it.
Yeah, don't really know what day it is at the moment. But we incorporated properly on the 31st of August last year. But I've been trading for about a year before that.
So. Okay, cool. So what made you... Well, first of all, tell us what your business is. I mean, it's a bit obvious.
Yeah, yeah. We're a bar fitting company, so we specialise in providing and supplying like craft beers, independent breweries, and specifically working with the independent brewery market.
Right.
We do everything from installing the bars to supplying the beer. Try and focus on home bars and office bars, but that was the original plan, but it sort of bled out a little bit and started doing tap rooms, and we do event bars and festivals.
Am I right in saying you're not particularly building pubs, for instance?
No, we do a bit of the fabrication. My cousin's a carpenter, so we've just done a bar installation in a community centre in Sydenham.
Right, okay.
So we've done everything from the fabrication through to the plumbing.
Well, okay. So,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
So what made you get into the business?
I don't know, it's a bit of a weird one. We sort of fell into it. I actually studied art and design and specialised in graphic design. And then through doing that, got a job in marketing and fell out of that. And then I've always, for the last 10 years, I've volunteered and worked on bars at festivals and all that sort of thing. So when I quit marketing, I just started looking for something else. Found a job working in events, installing bars, and we started installing bars at like Wilderness Festival and Standing and Calling and stuff like that.
Okay.
Had a few issues with the boss and started applying for a startup loan and quit that. And then started, like I say, trying to supply for home offices and home bars and offices.
And there are a lot of people that are looking to build bars at home?
There's quite a lot, yeah. More and more people are getting sheds in their back garden. I mean, especially with the way pubs are going, local pubs are closing, the beers are getting more expensive. A lot of pubs don't have the variety people are looking for and that sort of thing. So sheds in people's back garden, and especially offices in London. You know, we do Facebook and Crabtree and Evelyn's Bar.
Right.
And it's getting very trendy to have like a bar that opens at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
Staff can all come in and do that sort of thing.
I'm smiling. I'm still thinking about bars in sheds.
Yeah,
we moved on. The old chap used to hang around in the shed for a fag and stuff like that, didn't he? And his potting shed, and now he's installing a bar. I like it.
It's really good. And getting their 50-inch TV screens in there. So it also means that they can go and watch the football over there.
Yeah.
I like the fact that you called it a shed and not a summer house. Summer house would have just completely changed the whole
complexion
of it.
Yeah. No, it's not a cocktail bar. It's a pub.
I've got one client who converted... it was like a spare room at the back of his house. It's a really, 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 really big room.
Right.
It is definitely what you'd call a man cave. He's got a snooker cue in it. He's into his old classic bike, so he's got a couple of vintage bikes in there along with the bar.
Yeah.
He's got all his replica firearms and stuff like that. Little wine cellar at the back, and then the bar is made out of... it's the side of a... Boeing Skyliner, because he's got his aeroplane license all into his aeroplane. So he spent a bit of money on it, but
fantastic. Like
the most extravagant one that I've done.
It's interesting, though, talking about that, because in the US, for instance, it's a big thing. You know, a lot of people in the cellar of their house will have a den, or they call it den, and they'll have a pool table, they'll have a bar, jukebox and stuff like that,
Well, we're... our beer industry is almost sort of 15, 20 years behind what the Americans have been doing. The Americans now have had 15, 20 years of lots of independent producers, fairly readily accessible. The way the licensing works is fairly similar to over here, so it means you generally get tied pubs, and tied pubs. Fillers are quite good, but generally people like Sheppenheim, the local area, they like to keep their own products on the bar. They don't really expand out that much. So there's just not the variety out there. And if you want to have like a decent local ale, you know, you've either got to travel quite far for a pub that's got a freehold, or people start to either have bottles or home setups.
Absolutely. So you build the bar, the physical structure of the bar. Do you then move on to supplying craft beers, or how does that work?
So I've got a personal license and we deliver it.
Okay.
We do. So what we try and do is like a managed bar for them, so they don't have to any maintenance. It's taken care of with a package. All the supplies taken care of with a package. I line clean everything, make sure everything's been set up, and just keep it topped up. Because there's a lot of things that can go wrong, and if you keep if you on top of the maintenance, then you generally don't get into any issues. But for you know, I'm certified. I've done all my training, so I know what to do. For, to teach somebody with their own home bar is like
Be faffed. You know, they don't want to change pumps and they don't want to clean things out and stuff like that. They just want to go in the shed and have a pint of beer.
Exactly. Especially like if you can afford to get all of this in your back garden. Generally, you're quite a busy man anyway, and you don't really want to be getting home and faffing about for 30 minutes before you can have a pint.
So
set it all up with timers and everything so it comes on before they get home from work and all that sort of thing.
Smart bar.
Ready to go. Come in, have their pint. Sit down, watch the football. And
you know where he's going to go in a couple of years' time, don't you? There'll be an app.
I'm just thinking
And when you're on your way home, you go, I'm on the way home, fire it up.
It's gone even more than this. This is what I'm thinking. Yeah. Alexa, pour me a pint.
Yeah, exactly.
And that, I'm serious. You can get a bot that could do that. No, you can. We were talking about this with a guest that was on last one.
We've looked into, there are a couple of things that do automatic pint pouring. It's because you've got to sort of keep the glass at 45 degree angles, or you have to use special equipment. It's quite difficult to get
you'll
it to do.
You'll have a robot set up there, Charles.
We'll invent something, won't we? We'll draw you a plan, Charles, and you can implement it.
We've got your AI business set up for you.
The best way of doing it is you get a pipe that'll go to the bottom of the pint, and then it fills up from the bottom. You've got to have like an actuator that'll go. We have looked into it a little bit.
I know.
But it's the way to be, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It's going to be.
You can get these bottom fill pints.
Yes, I've seen them. I love it.
But then you've got to get special glassware, and the issue with that is like a spring-loaded valve on the bottom. There's been a few issues, especially at high flow events, where you fill the pint up, take it off, and it doesn't seal properly, and the pint drops back out through the bottom, which isn't ideal, especially when you're on a home bar, because it's a
bit messy.
Absolutely.
Okay, so moving on to the beer side of it now. I explained to you when we were off air, I'm teetotal, so I couldn't care less about the beer. But I'm sure most of our listeners will.
Well, we do kegs of soft drinks as well.
Do you? Cool. I've just got back into ginger beer for some reason. I don't know why.
I love it.
Anyway, so from your point of view, let's have a bit of a discussion about your favourite beers at the moment. Craft beers. There's a lot of craft beers about. There's a lot of people brewing. And there's a lot of, I don't know, pretentiousness, for want of a better word. Loads of people love their beers and swear by a particular brand or whatever. So let's see some of yours.
I'm not a huge fan of the term craft beer, because I think, especially for the demographic that I'm going for, it's a bit, like I say, it has the connotations of the lumberjack jackets and Shoreditch, that sort of thing. But generally, I mean, just ales, they are ales. We've got some really good producers in Kent now, like some genuinely almost world-class brewers. So you've got Time and Tide over in Deal.
Yep.
Angels and Demons are only like a couple of years old, I think. They start the same, pretty much the same month I did.
Right.
They're in Folkestone, and then we've got Boutillier's right on the backyard of Shepherd Neame in Faversham. They'd probably be the ones I'd go to for your sort of more crafty ones. But there's loads of real ale producers like Dartford Wobbler or the Old Dairy and that sort of thing.
I love the names as well. That's the thing that really gives
out. Dartford Wobbler's fantastic. It's such a good name.
I was thinking of setting myself up in a business as just a naming business, coming out, you know, with Old Grockle or something, you know, inventing names.
Yeah. Well, like in Cornwall, they've got Rattler.
Yeah.
NASA Cider, or you've got White Lightning. Yeah. It's evil.
Yeah.
Or, I had it a minute ago. There's just a couple of really funny ones. Hop Fuzzed is down in New Highs, obviously, right. Hop Fuzz. And then you've got Hop Stuff up in London or something right. like that. Yeah, you can get quite fun with your names. Yeah.
Can I have a pint of Big Jammer?
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Personally, I'm into my stouts.
Okay.
This time of year, I tend to move over to my more sort of hoppy IPAs because stouts are a bit much. But there's so much choice, you know. We do tasting events and the variety of different tastes and palettes and stuff. Generally, you find ones that are quite popular, but they'll never be popular with everyone, you know.
Okay. And is it just beer in your bars, or do you go for spirits as well?
We do get ciders. We've started working with the Chatham Dry Gin, what they call Copper Rivet.
Copper Rivet.
Yeah. They are amazing.
Have you been to their distillery?
We got shown round by Georgina, and it's amazing. It's so good. Because they're one of eight in the whole country that do everything in-house. So they get the grain in, they mill the grain, they malt it, ferment it, and distill it all in-house. And they do their gin vodka, and it's not really a whiskey. I've forgotten what it's called, because they don't age it.
It's like a bourbon. I know Georgina quite well.
She's lovely.
She's gorgeous, isn't she? And it's a fabulous place. I mean, I've never tasted the gin, so I can't tell you what it's like, but everybody swears it's really good. Copper Rivet. But the actual distillery is in an old water pumping station by the River Medway. Fabulous place.
It's fantastic. Interestingly, that place, they've designed their own still. And they've got this Indian guy who's like a master distiller. He's come in and designed this specialist still for it. They're applying for a patent on it at the moment. If they get that patent, then they've got their own style of gin. So it'll be Chatham Dry Gin, and it'll be an internationally recognised style of gin.
It's just
a nice little interesting.
Yeah, okay. So a bit like a French label, like champagne or...
Well, you get like London Dry Gin. It doesn't mean that it's been in London.
It's just how
the
they
London
produce
still.
It.
Yeah.
Laura's asking, Laura Lawrence, who's one of our DJs.
Yeah.
She's just said she tuned in. She loves Love Beer UK. And would it be possible to install a bar in the corner of the studio on Thursday morning, please?
We can do. We do little pop-up bars for weddings and stuff.
Do you?
Yeah.
Nice.
So we've got shelf coolers and taps and stuff that you can put in. Might be a bit, it's quite... quite a closed room, so it might be because we not necessarily small. We use compressed gas, and it's CO2 and nitrogen. Mm. So you've got to be a bit careful with your risk assessments and ventilation, because if there's any leaks in it, even a small bottle in a space like this,
nice.
It gets quite deadly quite quickly.
Cool. So how's it? You're 2 years in. You've won this recognition in the Maidstone Business Awards, which leads me to suspect you're based in Maidstone. There's no flies on me, I know. Whereabouts in Maidstone are you based?
We're south Maidstone, so it's just in a little village called Linton.
Yep, okay.
Just Marden would probably be the closest place.
We know Linton. Hill, the bull.
Lovely pub.
Really lovely. What's the next plan, Charles? Where do you go from here?
I don't really know. I'm sort of been playing it by ear because I'd always planned to sort of... I was working for an events company, as I said, and sort of planned to tick over for a while and keep the employment going. And then he found out, and he found out what I was doing and got a bit funny about it and refused to... When I then quit, applied for agency work, and he refused to even tell them that I'd worked there. So I had... To all intents and purposes, I had this 2-year employment gap, so it's a bit not particularly nice of him. So then the business model completely changed, and I just had to start doing pretty much whatever I could. So it's very much been Evolving quite organically as we've gone along.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah. No, you know, it's been fine. I'll just say it's just it's quite difficult to say where I'm going now because there's a few different areas that I've started doing. Really, I want to start getting more into event bars because that's and doing proper high flow festival bars. Where we've just been over the weekend, just helping out. It's been quite good actually because we've helped out with the setup and then I've got the whole festival to myself and just had a bit of de-rigging yesterday. So I'd love to be doing more of that because it's something that I've been doing for 10 years now anyway just as a volunteer, so to be able to get paid for it would be fantastic. But I, you know, I love doing the permanent installations as well. It's just and the office part, it's just all of it really, everything that I'm doing.
You're having fun, aren't you?
Progress. Really, that's neat.
And that's the best way to be in business.
Having fun making
a living and seeing where it goes. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
It's nice to be quite creative as well, you know, with the bar installations. It's all I get to design the bars and get to be quite fun with it. It's really enjoyable.
How, building the business up, because obviously you've built this business up from ground zero.
Yeah, well, we've got a start-up line, which is where it all started.
But have you had any fears or have you had anything that you've thought, oh, my God, what am I doing? Because you're just organically going along with it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, most things have worked out quite well. We did Kent County Show June, and that's sort of the first big failure, and it wasn't really anything to do with Kent County Show, and it was nothing that could be helped. It was because the football was on the Saturday, so just nobody turned up. So we lost a couple of £1,000 there, which is a bit of a hard hit. But no, not really. I mean, I went through the Virgin Startup Programme, and they give you a mentor, and the mentor's been really helpful. So when I've had a couple of low moments, he's sort of been really good at sort of being like, look, you know, you've backed yourself so far, you've done quite well, just believe in yourself and keep going.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's, you know, it's been obviously you're always going to have a few low moments, but
of course, on
the whole, it's been fairly.
And they don't go away. I've been in business 30 years. You have low moments.
Yeah.
You have high moments and low moments. You don't have high moments without low moments. And when you get a low moment, you're going to get a high moment. You know, it's just the way it is.
It's always just about recognizing them, and I think just trying to get stuck in. And you know, if you can sit down and write a plan, I'm a big list maker. So if I can sit down and sort of write 10 things that I want to do and start progressing, then just getting that focus back and moving forwards with it.
Cool. So thank you for that, Charles. If people want to find out more about Love Beer, how can they do that?
We're all over the place. Quite big on social media. I generally try and do something at least once every couple of days. It's Love Beer UK on everything. So we're big on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, which is twitter.com/lovebeeruk. And then we've got love-beer.co.uk is our website.
Fantastic.
And if you want to ring us, it's 01622. Oh, God, I've got to try and remember. 01622-541067, I think.
541067.
I love it. We've got a phone number.
Fantastic.
We don't often get a phone number given out.
I started that one off and thought, do you remember it?
It's really funny. Years ago, you wouldn't know this, but years ago, everybody used to know about a dozen phone numbers off Pat. Yeah. We all knew them because it was the only way you could know. You know, your mum's phone number, blah, blah. Nobody knows anyone's phone number, it's not true. Even their own anymore, because your phone remembers them all. Yeah.
I always remember the last three digits of most people's phone numbers.
Yeah. Well, I can remember.
What use is that?
Yeah.
Oh, I know it's them. It's 658. It's nonsense.
I'm going to make you laugh now. I remember my mum and dad's very first phone number, right? Still.
I remember my nan's.
Yeah. Well, what was your nan's phone number?
01752-221780.
Well, this is how old I am. Right, my mum's phone number was Byron 121. You actually had to dial the letters Byron, which is the exchange, 1212.
Wow, you beat me on that.
B-Y-R-O-N, Byron. Byron 1212. And it was a party line, so you might have got next door. Yeah.
That's cool. Crazy,
Charles, thank you so much for
that's
that.
That's all right. Thank you for
we wish you continued success and much joy and happiness with your business, Love Beer. And thank you so much for joining us. Do stay with us for the rest of the show for a moment.
Do. Thank you.
Charles Richard, Love Beer. Thank you.
Thanks.
Brilliant. Do you want to do your
mastermind? Should we do it now?
Yeah, let's go for it now.
Okay,
we've got 7 minutes.
Okay, so this is what was really interesting for me last week. So being on holiday, the first couple of days, it takes me a huge amount of effort and energy to break from working so hard. That was really evident. And Stephen was brilliant at just letting me be or, you know, just find your feet with your energy. Then when I got into my surfing, I was like, yes, here we go. So I started learning something new. And it really, I love the act of learning something new again. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you still go through the excitement of starting new. Oh, I've got a board. I look great. I've got my suit. Here we go. Everybody's amazing down here. The weather's lovely. We're on holiday. And then you get the reality of, wow, this is hard. Oh, my God, this is harder than hard. And I don't want to do it anymore. I'm tired. The resistance, the resilience that you go through, all of that went through. And I thought, how great, how many of us still put ourselves into a learning environment where we are absolute novices and then we try and go through to an expert level.
Absolutely. I mean, for the most part, how you described it sounded horrible because it is horrible, isn't
it? It's horrific.
Surfing's a really hard sport.
It's painful.
It is incredibly painful and you get really battered. And people don't realise that because they see people that can surf just standing on a blank of wood, you know, sailing into a beach and then stepping off. But it is not easy at all.
No.
So most, as I said earlier, most people end up bodyboarding because all you got to do is lay down then.
But it's the act of learning something new, the whole process of it.
Yeah. And that's interesting, isn't it? Because it's hard to learn things because you feel like a muppet. Because someone's teaching you, presumably, and they make it look easy, and you think, well, I can't do this. This is stupid. Why can't I do it? And it's one of the reasons people give up so easily, because they just think, oh, I can't do this. But everybody has to start learning like that. You know, it's like riding a bike, isn't it? I've used the analogy of bike riding in everything. You can't learn to ride a bike until you get used to falling off. Yeah. And even if your mum puts stabilisers on it, the day she takes your stabilisers off, bang, you're going to fall over. The whole way to learn to ride a bike is to stop falling over. And you can only do that by having fallen over so many times.
Exactly.
And that whole learning process goes with anything. You know, there's a whole sequence of unconsciously incompetent. And then the bit that you're into and that we're into here, which is consciously incompetent. And that conscious incompetence is the point where most people give up.
Of course.
Yeah. Because they go, this is hard. It hurts. I can't do it. I must be cack-handed. It's not for me. If you keep going though, eventually you learn how to do it and you get through that.
It's the fear of mistakes, isn't
exactly,
it? It's the most inhibiting thing you can have. If you're scared of making mistakes, so scared that you're never going to try anything, then you're never going to progress.
Absolutely. It's this whole failure thing.
But what's really interesting is as adults, we don't learn as much anymore. As children, we are absolutely...
Well, it's as Charles said, the kids don't worry about failure. They don't think about failing.
No.
Yeah, they'll run into a brick wall and go, oh, blimey.
You see our little ones, they were just like, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
And then you hear everybody else go, oh, well, you know, at your age, that's a really interesting one, at your age, and, you know, do you really want to be doing that to your body? And I'm like looking at somebody going, pop, I don't understand that concept.
Mm.
So for me, the act of learning something new is invaluable. And then I transfer that skill to me and my business, to me and the clients, because... You know, whoever you are, you must, it's your absolute must to still keep learning till the day you die.
Yeah,
it's actually, for me, it's been one of the best things that study in art and art college taught me, because from day one, they are there telling you that mistakes aren't mistakes. You just keep working at them, keep working into it, and you'll build up. And, you know, you can spend 2 or 3 hours on a painting that you hate, but they force you to continue going into it. And after... another hour after that, then you start to actually make something or work something into it. And it's something that when you take that into, you know, working in other businesses and now working for myself, is very valuable. Just, you know, when you get to a point where you hate something, keep going at it.
Yeah.
Keep going at it. When you're feeling demoralized, just keep going and eventually you'll get in there.
It's absolutely true. And here comes a rant. It's one of the problems I have with where we're going with society, where we're trying to minimise failure, while we're trying to make everyone a success, while we're trying to level the playing field. So we've got a load of politicians running around at the moment talking about levelling the playing field. They're idiots. They're completely stupid. Why would you level the playing field? You want to penalise someone that's been successful in their business by making them as bad as everybody else. That's what you're asking. Why would you do that? The fact is, as Charles just indicated, that failure is the impetus to go on, to move, to improve, to grow, to learn. If you take that away, there is no impetus to do it.
Well, a great example of this is, and I'll use Jack. Jack and I sat down. So Jack's my son. He's writing a book called The Autistic Book to Being Normal. He's autistic. He's 21. He's amazing.
Mm.
He's writing this book. So it's hard. People think, oh, have you written a book? Oh, that's lovely. Mm. We think that everybody's written books. It's so hard to sit down and write a book. Anyway, he's writing this book. He stopped writing. He's now going to start a podcast. I've gone, whoa. You can't carry on to the shiny thing. You've got to stay in this pain point. Mm.
Yeah.
And we don't do that enough because we don't practice the art of learning.
Absolutely.
And that's the problem.
Sometimes putting something down can be, like for a couple of months, can be quite good for the process. But if he's like walking away from it completely, then you need to come back to it at some point.
Exactly. You know, not with Jack, but in general terms, we give up things too easily. The amount of startup businesses that fail, and they fail because people gave up too soon.
I've given up stuff and thought. So I'm not saying by any means I've got a halo shining. It really, really came and kicked me on the backside, and that was just from the waves as well. Like, okay, it is so important that I continue to learn for the rest of my life.
Absolutely.
But your sense of achievement was your goal, and you know how good that is. Mm. And if people haven't got that goal...
Yeah.
Because if you're not that fussed about riding a bike, for example, and you fall off, you're going to be like, well, I'm not bothered about it anyway. But if you know how good it's going to be when you get to that moment,
it's the vision,
that's your motivation, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right.
Absolutely. Good point. Thank you for that. Do you know what we're going to do now?
I'd like to hear from the news.
We're going to join the news train. Here we go.
On the Hour, Channel Radio News Update.